day after Memorial Day. Or actually, 2 days after. What am I thinking?
Well, we don't got pencils. Yeah, man. Tim, it's the day we're recording.
I know. We're recording the day after Memorial Day. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Jacob, chairman of the boards. Dr. Big Dog, I can see here. Or that's Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. And me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Yeah, we're here. Class is in session. Whew. I got to tell you, though, Johnny, coming out of a long holiday weekend, and, you know, as you know, I've been kind of really busy. I'm relocating states. I will be moving from Ohio to Pennsylvania, and in the process, a lot of work trying to get a house sold, purchase a house, and the house we're purchasing, we love it. What we're trying to do right now, though, is we've got lots of bats in the attic. And so I've spent the entire weekend learning everything there is about bat relocation, not extermination, and the fact that you can only relocate bats during a certain time period. And after that, you have bat blackout, in which you have to wait and let them have their young before you can relocate them again. So I didn't even realize that that's what's happening. And Johnny, I got to tell you, with all of that going on, I'm a little light on understanding the realities we're facing in education right now. I was wondering if you had anything going out there.
Oh man, we always got things happening, Tim. All things are moving. We had a great Memorial Day this weekend, a good show. We chopped it up. Jacob and I did a little history lesson on some of the aspects of Memorial Day, differentiating it from Veterans Day, but nonetheless expressing its importance and holding space for simultaneously being, you know, against war in general, but understanding that it's happened and that people have sacrificed their lives. So if you didn't catch the Memorial Day show, go back, give it a listen, or hopefully you enjoyed your start to summer, even though it's not the scientific start to summer. It's sort of the political cultural one here, kind of shifting into the season. Tim, you're studying bats, man. All I can think of is, all righty then. That's my bad impression from Ace Ventura. But what did he deal with all that guano?
Yeah, that's actually what the biggest, actually relocating bats, not that hard a thing. You just go in, you seal up where they're coming in, give them a one-way exit. They let themselves out. Then they can't get back in, but there's a whole lot of stuff left over from where they, when they were hanging, they dropped stuff.
Yeah. If I remember correctly from a movie that I probably shouldn't have been learning as much as I learned from watching. I mean, there's some stuff that probably we could do without in our lives, in Ace Ventura. But I remember Jim Carrey did teach me about bat doo-doo. And guano.
So I'm a little confused, though. I thought when you said I've got a lot of bats in the attic, I assumed that was like a metaphor for you have a lot going on right now. But there are really bats in your attic, is what you're saying.
Well, Jacob, I got to tell you,
it was like irons in the fire.
Bats in this attic, my cranium. That's always a reality that I'm dealing with. But yeah, literal bats and literal bat poop. So
well, hey man, you'll get it figured out. And big ups for doing the relocation thing. That's probably awesome because we need bats. Our science teachers out there will tell us. And I remember one of the best things we used to do on our sort of urban farm in school was we'd put up a lot of bat houses because we had mosquito issues and they were great hunters and feeders on the mosquitoes. So kept our mosquitoes down to put up bat houses. And what a cool creature, too, man. So, they do poop.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with that. So, class in session this week.
We thought we weren't going to teach, and there we are teaching right there, Johnny.
But I'll tell you what, though. Over the weekend, around the holiday celebrations and, the rest and things, and, I was scrolling through the social medias, and civic media had a post that caught my attention, and I got on and got to listen to the show a bit. And mornings with, you know, with Pat, and they interview Representative Christian Phelps, Wisconsin Representative Christian Phelps. And I thought, oh, we got to talk about this on Busted Pencils, maybe a class in session this week. Tim, we had a great show not too long ago with the Wisconsin Public Educators Network, right? And, you know, WPEN, great organization. If you're listening and you don't know about them, well, now you know about them, you got to check them out. Wisconsin Public Education Network. But we were talking about the budget proposals and the budget cuts. And Representative Christian Phelps, you know, came on and he asked a fair question. Why doesn't anything good ever happen around here? He's not pulling any punches. I like a direct quote like that. And what he's referring to is, and I'm going to just quote the Civic Media post and report here because it's a great summary of their discussion, but saying, you know, in rural Wisconsin, so you listeners out there, pencil busters in Wisconsin and rural Wisconsin, we know this because you've called in and you've talked with us, and we know by and large you support public schools. But he said in rural Wisconsin, public schools aren't just where kids learn. They're the heart of the community and oftentimes one of the largest employers. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin families believe our kids deserve every opportunity to succeed. And we talk about that on the show, Tim, that these are like our public schools are linked to our local economies. We said it here. Strong democracy hinges on public education, not just the things that kids are learning in classrooms. That's a really important aspect of it because they become our future citizens, but also because they're part of our local economy. There are a number of ways, whether it's events, whether, you know, it's services, all the different things, they're woven tightly into our economy. As a producer of, you know, good, responsible, ethical, democratic citizens that are also laborers, but also they employ a lot of people in our communities. But here's the kicker, and here's where Representative Christian Phelps is kind of, you know, getting right to the point. The Republican-controlled Budget Committee recently just cut teacher apprenticeships. So we've talked about that on the show, man. Tim. Special education funding. We've had special shows on that. Healthy school lunch programs. Don't even get me started, Tim. You know where I sit on this. So understanding the lay of that land for our listeners, that's our class in session today, right? There was budget committee at the legislative level. Remember, we talk about education as a state, right? And Wisconsin is a state. Y'all know that. But within that state legislative process, they have to set and determine the budget for public schools. And we've said over and over, and we're going to say it clear and loudly, they have not been adequately funding public education. And that's, you can learn more about that. Go to the Wisconsin Public Education Network. You can get really great information immediately from them on that. But by and large, we're saying you got to fund it more. But in the midst of so much advocacy, which you can also see at WPEN, there's strong voices coming from all directions saying, hey, this is really important, support our public schools. Despite that, 12 Republicans versus 4 Democrats on the committee. So there's 12 Republicans and 4 Democrats. And programs for kids got cut while money for private schools, right, didn't. So Wisconsin kids deserve better leadership, better investments in their future. And I loved hearing Representative Christian Phelps. So if you can, and he's in your district, District 93, I believe that's the Democrat in Eau Claire.
Eau Claire.
Eau Claire. That's my bad pronunciation as a non-local.
Jacob, forgive him.
Yeah. Forgive me. Forgive me.
I forgive you, Johnny, for you do not know.
Yes, for I do not know.
But now you do, so if it happens again, I'm sorry.
And if you don't know, now you know. All right. So, but nonetheless, Tim, let's just kind of get your thoughts on this here as a class in session today. Because what that breaks down to is the big things we're talking about will likely get cut and not funded because of this budget is they're going to cut peer-to-peer suicide prevention. WTF. Teacher apprenticeships, we talked about. Special education funding, healthy meals, and healthy kids' school lunch programs. Items to be cut by the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee from Governor Evers' budget proposal. So what do you think about this, Tim?
Well, I mean, the first thought is we're not surprised, right? I mean, especially a longtime Wisconsin, you know, especially since the Walker years all the way through, the constant cuts to education, public education, very specifically. It's just something people, I hate to say, are potentially used to, because it happens all the time. What we want to talk about here, though, is very specifically, though, and you know, this is where we need to be doing this kind of work, is pointing out what is going to go away with these cuts. So you talk about this, Johnny, teacher apprenticeships. And yet, anybody listening to Busted Pencils for the longest time, you know that we have covered teacher apprenticeships in so many ways, probably one of the most innovative, really high quality ways to get community members, people who, you know, would love to become a teacher in your neighborhood but didn't have access to that education and the funding. This really was moving, as they say, moving the needle and getting some of our best community members to become teachers. And, you know, you think about this in rural areas where teacher shortages are always profound. And the idea that somebody living locally could step up and go, really? As me, as, you know, Johnny, in fact, we interviewed the one bus driver in Michigan who all of a sudden said, I'm going to be a teacher. And because of the teacher apprenticeship program, she's able to do that. So you think about that and go, well, what is it about that program that needs to be cut? That seems to be making a huge difference in helping all kinds of people. And guess what? Kids specifically, because getting quality teachers from their local communities to be those mentors, those advocates, those people who are working with them, what a great program. Johnny, lunch. I mean, why do we constantly seem to point out that food is a necessity of life and that cutting food is kind of like a direct attack on life? And so the idea that we're going to defund healthy, now maybe some people are going, look, those poor kids don't need healthy. Okay, let's not go there, but, you know, healthy lunch. In fact, we know that America's obesity problem is largely put back into, you know, the types of food that we're seeing that are given as, you know, really, you know, high calorie, you know, low health indicators and stuff like that. So the idea that we're going to cut this. Special education, you know, when you were talking about it, made me think about this going, so are we really now potentially, you know, framing this as, wait a minute, in today's anti-woke America, nobody's special. We're all equal. And therefore, we got to do away with that special education because nobody's special, Lupinacci. Nobody's special, Chairman Jacob. Nobody's special. That's the only way I point this out and go, really? Okay, that's where, you know, and here's the other thing. Special education parents and families, come on, we need you in this moment because you know those services are vital, vital. And you also know they're not funded at the level they're supposed to be anyway to begin with, Johnny.
Well, yeah, Tim, I'm going to backwards into that. I'm going to start where you started, and I'm going to take a slightly different angle on that. I am becoming more and more surprised. I'm with you. Like, this is par for the course. Mm-hmm. To attack public education and to put legislation in a spot where they can do the dirty work of dismantling public education by defunding it. But so it's par for the course in those politics. But I'm going to say I am getting more and more surprised that across both parties, they're pulling it off, because this is what I want to emphasize. And I think this is what Representative Christian Phelps was saying is we know by and large people in Wisconsin, actually people across this entire country, but especially in Wisconsin, across counties that voted both red and blue, let's just kind of boil it down to that, supported public schools. So this is a clear-cut case of when is legislation going to do the democracy job of representing its constituency? This is where I am going to say I am surprised. Enough is enough. There is bipartisan voters out there who identify as either, you know, Republican or Democrat, or somewhere in that mix of things. And across both groups say, what you say, Tim, yeah, we got to support our public schools. It's a no-brainer.
Right.
But yet legislation, so that, you know, this joint finance committee, 12 Republicans, 4 Democrats, you know, it results in massive cuts. So it sounds like, you know, you have amazing, I wouldn't even call them whistleblowers, just, you know, communicating what's happening at that legislative level. Representative Christian Phelps coming on and saying, hey, this doesn't represent the constituency. What do y'all think? How should we proceed?
You made me think of something, Johnny, though, too, when you said that. You know, it's like whether you're Republican or Democrat, we keep hearing and seeing when it comes to voting for our community, the hearts of our community, the public schools, right? It's like, yeah, we want them. In fact, let's just say the citizens of our communities, no red, no blue, no nothing. The citizens of our communities want their public schools taken care of, and yet here in Wisconsin, and we know all across the country in different ways, a legislative ambush on public schools that doesn't represent the citizenry, all the citizenry, right?
Yeah.
And you sit there and go, yeah, so in that sense, it is maybe surprising, but to me, it's also the sheer sign of this kind of willing arrogance, anger, kind of hatred of the local voters, particularly these 12 Republicans that are saying, too bad we know better than you local people. We're here to fix everything. Yeah. And it's just, at what point is this going to, and I hope that anybody listening to Busted Pencils understands this is the point where we go, okay, let's change this.
Well, yeah, Tim, I'll just say it rather bluntly. It's abuse of power. It's agenda setting, right? And it's kind of, you know, making a choice of no choice. And Tim, go through it. Like the things that are cut are, we can come back to it. They're essentials.
Right.
Right. Like you talked about it. Like we talk about local economy, teacher apprenticeship programs, you know, whatever you are out there, you might find like, hey, and it's certainly my pathway into teaching. I was, you know, apprenticing as a plumber and I loved learning. And I realized like on a crew, I liked also teaching. And I like communicating, breaking down skills and putting those skills into action. And I had some really good coworkers who had also been teachers. And they said, hey, young man, you may want to become a teacher. You like this. You're good at it. There are people in our community. They might be a mechanic. They might be a, you know, a barber or a hair salon owner or something. They love the teaching aspect. And maybe they always thought about becoming a teacher, but, you know, the 4-year pathway of like, you know, being 19 and deciding at 19, you know, you want to be a teacher doesn't work for everybody. Right. So there are amazing educators in our community that could have a clear pathway into being awesome teachers in our schools. To cut that is to directly say, we don't care about jobs in your community. Yeah. We don't care about your career growth or transitions you may figure out in your adult life. In fact, we don't even need you or want you in our schools. And those are oftentimes some of the best educators in our community. The cutting of special education funds, to me, Tim, it's infuriating, one, because it's hitting the most vulnerable.
Right.
By supposed Christians. So supposed Christians who should be, you know, meeting the most in need in our community with the most support, instead are doing the opposite, which is always befuddling to me, but par for the course. But the idea of cutting special education funding, this is a big one, Tim, because I got my guy. It's not my responsibility because this is directly a result of federal cuts.
Yeah.
So the federal cuts saying, okay, well, we're not giving this extra money to states state saying, well, we're going to have to cut back because we've only been able to fund this. So to increase it, which is what they've poo-pooed, is to increase to make up for the deficit. So it's like disaster politics. The federal government creates a disaster for the Wisconsin legislation, and the Wisconsin legislation says, well, sorry, I got my guy. You know, it doesn't count. Like, we still got scored on. We still might lose the game. And in this case, the most vulnerable in our community suffer, right? And we could go on and on about healthy food, Tim, but it's just a no-brainer. Even if you're not for equity, and I have beef with you if you're not, but that's okay. We can disagree. Even if you're not for equity, you got to be in for saving money. And it costs less to educate, feed, and provide these services to a kid for a few years than it does to keep them in our prisons for however long they're likely to be incarcerated for because they didn't do well in our school system, which sadly is too often the case. So if you fancy yourself fiscally responsible, this is a no-brainer. Feed the kids.
Yeah.
And they said, well, what if, you know, parents can already afford food? That's not fair. Who cares? Let's not waste time figuring it out. Let's just provide food for kids.
Yeah.
And everybody grows together. Everybody has, you know, less behavior problems. Everyone's a better learner when we've been fed, when we're taken care of, and when our important places like public education are well-funded. Tim, I'm going to reach out to Representative Christian Phelps and try and get him on our show because I think this young representative is on fire, representing the good fight, and it would be a great conversation.
Absolutely. But now, Johnny, it's time for your moment of zen. I started studying history with one view in mind, to look for answers to the issues and problems I saw in the world about me.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, Class in Session of Busted Pencils. And if you want to listen to more episodes of these great podcasts, you can download them at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you can always find us at the Civic Media website, or, you know, grab us at bustedpencils.com. Don't forget, we got hurdles and home runs on Fridays. Yeah, there's heroes on that too. We've got our broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Busted Pencils networks on Civic Media at 3 p.m. Saturdays, always, where you can get 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.